According to a calendar item in the Northeast News of Northeast Kansas City, there is currently, as I speak, a family movie matinee at the Northeast Public Library scheduled for 10 a.m. Aw, man. But our show is at 10. Well, never mind. We're visiting Northeast Kansas City today anyway, if that's a consolation. I'm Jabulani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we continue our series called Corner to Corner, and we'll meet you in Northeast Kansas City, north of downtown, just east of City Market, and not quite into Northland KC. We'll find out about the historic sites, why the KC Museum is closed all January, and about the booming cultural diversity in this area of town. Get ready for the next installment of Corner to Corner, a Midwestern Nor'easter that's on Central Standard after this hour's NPR News. Good morning, Kansas City. Today, we continue our new series, Corner to Corner, where we look at the various neighborhoods of Kansas City and explore these neighborhoods' past, present, and hopes for the future. Yesterday, we journeyed to Country Club Plaza, but today, our producer Matthew Long Middleton and historian Lucinda Rice Petrie explore the Northeast neighborhood. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabulani LaFall. And now, here's our producer, Matthew Long Middleton.
Lucinda Rice Petrie picked me up on Tuesday afternoon, the first day of the new year. It was bright and cold. We drove north and up several of the distinct boulevards of Kansas City, and as we talked, it became clear that the history of the Northeast was very similar in some respects to that of the Plaza. Just a few men shaped this neighborhood with their vision and their capital. The story of the Northeast starts with two families, the Skerritts and the Longs, to which I have no relation, at least that I'm aware of.
This is one of the most rich areas in the manner of history of Kansas City, Missouri. The area was a wilderness, and during the border warfare between Missouri and Kansas, prior to the war between the states breaking out, a young Methodist minister who taught at the Shawnee Indian Mission was named Nathan Skerritt. He feared for the health and welfare of his wife and family, and he left the home, which he owned and is still standing, by the way, in Westport, which I like to refer to as the Village of Westport because that was the original name for it. He bought a tract of land in this vicinity and moved here with his family and lived in a log cabin. And eventually, he subdivided the area into building lots and made a tremendous amount of money through real estate transactions along with his sons. And one of his eldest son was Judge Lucky Skerritt, who built a home on Gladstone Boulevard, which to this day is still occupied by descendants of Nathan Skerritt. Supposedly, it is the only home in the state of Missouri which has continuously been owned and occupied by members of the same family, which is quite remarkable.
As we crossed over a bridge, suddenly the whole area took on a different feeling, and Lucinda turned in front of a home that looked more like a palace or maybe even a museum.
Now, this is the Kansas City Museum of Science and History, and it is actually Corinthian Hall, which was the home of Robert Alexander Long, who was a lumber executive who came to Kansas City with his wife, and his two children were raised here, and he established one of the most beautiful buildings downtown, which is the Long Building. This was his home, and it's an incredible mansion, and it's been in a sense closed, although it's being restored on a gradual basis, and Christopher Letch, who is the chairman of the museum, is very hopeful that soon it will be totally completed and open for everyone to enjoy.
And can you describe the building?
Well, it is a mixture of both of a number of styles. The reason it's called Corinthian Hall is because the columns are enormous and the capitals are Corinthian. And there are three major styles of capitals on columns. There's Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian. And Corinthian is the most elaborate. And if you look, you can see how very, very elaborate those columns are. I mean, rather, the tops of the columns are. And this is called, it has portions of both Georgian style and Grecian style. It's an absolutely phenomenal building. And I can't wait for it to be totally reopened. It's going to be a feather in Kansas City's cap to have that building reopened.
And so, like, for example, like I'm looking at it and I see it's stone. It's mostly a stone building. I don't know much about masonry, so I can't tell what kind of stone it is. But, like, on the top, it looks like it has a copper roof.
It does, and it also has a tile. You can see the red tile. It's truly one of the most magnificent buildings we have. And Alexander Long wanted to have his home here. And there were several other homes that were located on this site, and he had them moved. And one of them is over to the southeast of the Kansas City Museum. And it's unbelievable that the skills were available in shortly after the turn of the century to actually move a home that it doesn't look like it's very far when you're standing and comparing the museum with where the home is located that was moved. But my goodness, can you imagine moving it to the south and the east and placing it at the intersection of Indiana and Gladstone Boulevard? But it was done. And he wanted his home here because I truly believe some of the most magnificent views of downtown Kansas City are from the northeast.
The view from these homes are inspired. Men and women and children were sledding down the hill, and only a few miles in the distance, the towers of Kansas City jut sternly into an orange sky. Lucinda spoke many times of the feeling you get when you're in this neighborhood. And as we looked at the city, I wondered what Skerritt and Long had saw just 100 years before. There's something about this historic district that brings a romanticism for the turn of the century. I felt as if the whole area was a museum, and I had been transported back in time, if only for a moment. And just across the street, three more very large brick homes stood, taking in the view as well.
Norledge is a small avenue which is east and west direction, immediately north of the Kansas City Museum. And there are three homes, almost in a row, which were built for Nathan Skerritt's children. And one of them is the home far to our right. It's on the most eastern part of Norledge. And it's a magnificent home. It's built entirely of stone. It was built by Root and Siemens, and it's a Queen Anne style home, and it was built for Martha Matilda Skerritt and her husband Elliot Jones. And then the next home, which has been, the brick has been painted gray, and I wish it were not. I think it would be much more elegant if we could see the original brick and not have the paint. But this home was built by Anna Elizabeth Skerritt and Bishop Eugene Russell Hendricks. It was built in the 1890s, and if you'll notice, both of these homes were built in the 1890s, and the third home built by the Skerritt family was 3240 Norledge Place, and this was built by William Chick Skerritt in 1888. It's the oldest of the three. The architects were Burnham and Root, and it is a magnificent home because there are very few homes in Kansas City which are chateau-esque style. And another thing that's very interesting about this home is it's built of brownstone. There are very few buildings in Kansas City area which are built of brownstone. And this home has had a magnificent renaissance. It has. It was recently purchased by a family who has beautifully restored it. In the 1970s and early 80s, this home had been carved into many, many rooms, and it was a home for elderly people who had very little means of
mobility
and also worth. And for a small sum of money, they resided there in sort of a nursing home type of design. And it was very sad that that happened.
But now, is it just some rich family that lives in there? Like, it served a community, and now maybe it only serves a family.
That's not true. The family who owns the home are actually, I have been told, that they are from another area of the Midwest, and they love Kansas City, Missouri. They came here. They saw this magnificent home just crumbling, and it was. It was not heated. The roof was leaking. There was a walkthrough maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I did the walkthrough, and it was just so depressing to see a home of that magnificence just falling apart. They bought the home, and they've restored it. And all of the architects of these three homes that I mentioned were phenomenal architects that were known all over the United States when these homes were built in the 1880s and 1890s.
Lucinda shared stories similar to this with me several other times. A family, not originally from KC, moves in, sees what were the grandest mansions of their time, and rehabs them. But sporadically scattered throughout this neighborhood, we saw for sale signs on lawns. And we even saw one mansion, not just for sale, but boarded up.
I think that we owe the development of this incredible area to the families of Nathan Skerritt and Robert Alexander Long. Because it was Nathan Skerritt who began Melrose United Methodist Church, which unfortunately is now closed. And it was Robert Alexander Long who challenged the members of a Church of Christ to build a church, which still exists. It's Independence Boulevard Christian Church. And he also made a challenge to the parishioners if there were, I believe it was 1,000 people who attended Sunday school, then he would virtually fund the entire educational wing. And he did. And it's still a magnificent church. But it was because of these businessmen and the businessman, that we do have attractive homes which still exist, and they are built, all of them, like La Rocca Gibraltar. I'm not joking. They have huge, huge basements. The walls are thick. They're built of the finest lumber and materials that anyone could afford prior to the turn of the 20th century and into the early 20th century.
So has this neighborhood essentially continuously been a place where the affluent live?
No, it has changed dramatically. Yes, there are affluent people who do reside here. That is very true. But it has had periods of when it has not grown and when these beautiful homes have not been maintained. And in a sense, it had what I would call an urban pioneer spirit, where people did buy the homes and move into them and actually restored them while they were living in them.
As the plaza develops simultaneously in the South, and the cost of maintaining these large homes with their staff increased, this neighborhood of lawyers and judges changed dramatically. Italian immigrants settled in, and today you can find residents from Africa, Vietnam, and many parts of Latin America. In all, the history of the Skerritt Historical District, and perhaps much of the Northeast, is a complicated one. The changes in this neighborhood are as clear as the contrast between these turn-of-the-century mansions and the shadows that they cast onto the ranch houses across the street. The Northeast seems to me like a place where history collided and burst into many pieces. This is what makes it so unique and well worth an afternoon of exploring.
That was Central Standard producer Matthew Long Middleton telling us about his jaunt around Northeast Kansas City, a hidden jewel north of downtown and east of City Market. You are listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR FM, streaming live on the internet at kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. This is the second installment of our Corner to Corner series here on Central Standard, and we're in Northeast Kansas City today. Speaking of Northeast Kansas City, what do you find charming, underrated, or telling about Kansas City's Northeast community? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option for this conversation, as is Twitter, where our handle is @KCURCST. And now we turn to our in-studio guest, Lucinda Rice Petrie. She's a tour guide of Old Northeast and an active member of the Historical Society Foundation, the voice that you heard throughout that recorded piece. Lucinda, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Kristen Johnson, we have the Neighborhood Secretary and Marketing Director for Pendleton Heights in the Northeast neighborhood. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And we also have Michael Bushnell, a writer for the very comprehensive hyperlocal paper, the Northeast News. Welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Let's turn to Lucinda. Can you begin by answering the question that was posed to our listening audience? What makes Northeast KC unique among these enclaves?
I believe it's a hidden gem. There are so many individuals in the metropolitan Kansas City area who have trouble locating it. They think that the Northeast is north of the river. It's not. It is to the north and east of downtown Kansas City. It primarily, the area that I know the most about and am most familiar is Skerritt Point Historic District. I discovered it when I first arrived in Kansas City to teach in 1969, and I was enamored with it. I then began getting involved with the Historic Kansas City Foundation, and I was asked by the director at that time, Neil Horstman, if I would develop what are called heritage hikes, which are walking tours. They're really hikes. They're long. They're 3.5 to 4 hours long of several historic neighborhoods. And one of them that we chose as our first neighborhood to explore was the historic Northeast. And thus began a love of mine with the people, the area, the churches, the boulevards.
And for that matter, let's turn to Kristen Johnson. There's a perception issue. And let's start with the fact that there's this sort of freeway interchange moat of 29, 35, East Bottoms, casinos, all clustered in that area that block a view from downtown and block it from being a contiguous appendage of downtown Kansas City and the rest of Kansas City. Why is this jewel such a hidden gem among its residents, Kristen Johnson?
Well, that is part of it. Although I would say that the interstates are or interstate access is more of a plus than anything else. And it does kind of create an island effect. That's true. But because of that, it's built this very nice sense of community. People who are in that area are generally not just passing through. They're in it. They know their neighbors. We're close to each other. But you're very close to downtown. You're just a few blocks to Columbus Park on the other side of that City Market. You do have great access to 29, 35, 71. And not to mention Independence Avenue is such a great east-west connection to the other neighborhoods in the Northeast.
Now, Mike Bushnell, you're a beat writer slash community member slash orator, elder statesman in the neighborhood, mostly very middle-class white people, but it's also a very diverse neighborhood. You could hear at least five languages if you walk down the block. It's very cosmopolitan in that sense. Why is it more diverse than most KC neighborhoods?
I think part of that was due to the immigration of the Italian community early in the 20th century. They initially found the North End, the old Columbus Park neighborhood, and as they began to immigrate, their population grew up the hill. It was not bisected by I-35 at that point in time. But the Italian community largely started that, and we've always been a community that's been extremely diverse, not only from an Italian standpoint, but also a lot of Hispanics had settled there, and Irish and Jewish communities were also located there off of Admiral Boulevard and south of Independence Avenue as well. So it just kind of naturally migrated as the school district changed, that really drove a lot of the Italian community, and that's essentially white flight in the mid 1970s and 80s, and the most recent. In the early 90s, we saw the Vietnamese community start to really develop down in the North End and develop a healthy presence there. And now with the Hispanic community, and what I say to a lot of people is, you know, if it weren't for the Hispanic community's migration into historic Northeast, we'd see 10 times more empty buildings than we do now. And being the entrepreneurial population that they are, they're responsible for a lot of the new businesses on Independence Avenue.
There's also an influx of East African, Somalian, mm-hmm. Sudanese, Ethiopian, Eritrean people in Northeast. Why there?
I have to go back to the early 1990s, and that's when a local social service agency really began to import those people. And really, it became a bone of contention with the neighborhoods because, and I'm going to use the term flat out, they were literally immigrant dumping into vacant apartments with no heat, with no acclimation. As those people did begin to acclimate into the community, it was just like it was in the Italian community early on. They'd write their family members, come over here. And these are refugees largely that come from all castes of society, all walks of life in their home country. And they come here and they immigrate. And then that population, too, is very entrepreneurial.
That seems to be a classic American story, Lucinda, an entrepreneurial class of immigrants. Northeast is also a hotbed for rare and specialized ethnic cuisine as well. And along the lines of what Mike was just talking about, how did that happen?
I must admit, I do not know, because my emphasis in the historic Northeast has always been the story of Kansas City.
You never eat there?
No, I must admit, I don't. But my emphasis is all, I must go there, I will admit. But my emphasis has always been telling the story of the city of Kansas City through its historic architecture.
Right, right. And what is the living history now?
Well, the living history now, in my opinion, is the fact that we have more interest in preserving the marvelous homes that are there.
Let's let Mike talk about that food, that delicious food.
Rubbing my belly here, because Northeast, I'm telling you what, drive down Independence Avenue, really, and you can see Vietnamese, you can see Mexican, Hispanic, Latino, the brand new, the Haitian joint there at Independence in Indiana.
Right, Jose Faust was recently telling me about that.
Oh, you got to get, I'm telling you.
Right.
And there's a big kick on citywide about food trucks. I'm going to kick it to Kristen because in their Pendleton Heights home tour, they had a whole slew of food trucks from all over the city, but you got to hit some of the Mexican trucks on the avenue. They're absolutely some of the best trucks in the city.
Pupuserias as well, Kristen, the Salvadorian cuisine.
Absolutely.
It's there. He said he's going to kick it to you. Kick the ballistics on it.
Well, the food truck you had on your tour, really.
Absolutely. Well, we're really fortunate, and I joke that from my house I could walk to get dumplings, I can walk to get a homemade tortilla or goat soup. And I can't think of any other community where that's even possible. But, yeah, Michael's right. We did have some food trucks on our homes tour in December just to highlight some of what we do have in the Northeast. And you're right about the Mexican food trucks on the avenue. I haven't hit a bad one yet.
Corner to corner on Central Standard today. We're in the Northeast Kansas City neighborhood. Yesterday we were in the Plaza. You can check out this series on KCUR.org, by the way, and call in to tell us what you like about Northeast Kansas City and any criticisms you have of it as well. Jack writes on Facebook, "The Northeast has great people that are proud. All neighborhoods have challenges, but the reality in the area is waiting for more dedicated people to continue to move towards urban, air quotes, urban community that KC needs. With more than 50 nationalities in the area, you would be hard-pressed to find a more diverse area to live in KC. Thank you, Jack, for those thoughts on Facebook about Northeast Kansas City on today's Corner to Corner on Central Standard. John in Crown Center, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, Giavolotti.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
Go ahead.
I grew up in Northeast Kansas City. I'm from the Italian Gardens restaurant family. I was born in '58 and went to Gladstone Elementary School and Northeast High School. So I am a native Northeaster and very, very proud of it. During the period when I was raised in Northeast, it was predominantly, well, I'd say a 50-50 Italian-American community, and it was just a wonderful place to grow up. I had I lived on Van Brunt, North Van Brunt. I had two aunts and three cousins, all had houses on our block. Nobody locked their doors. Everybody knew everybody. Everybody policed the neighborhood, and it was just a wonderful time to grow up in Northeast and very safe. And talking about food, they had predominantly Italian restaurants, like they do Mexican restaurants now, and you got great Italian food all through Northeast. My family originally started in the North End, and it seems like they migrated from the North End, the Columbus Park area, up to Northeast as they became a little bit more successful and were able to afford a little bit nicer, nicer house.
Thank you very much, John, for contributing to that conversation. We have Lucinda Rice Petrie, tour guide of Old Northeast, and Kristen Johnson, Neighborhood Secretary and Marketing Director for Pendleton Heights, and Michael Bushnell, writer for the Northeast News. What's the role, Kristen, of green space in attracting people to this neighborhood? Green space. You talked about the walkability.
Sure, sure. Well, we're very lucky. We're surrounded by Cliff Drive, all of Northeast is, which is, I believe, one of two urban scenic byways in the United States. It's gorgeous. It's closed on the weekend for cyclists and runners. Outside of that, we're dotted with parks largely because of the boulevard system. So the neighborhood was set up and planned that way. You know, outside of that, we're popping in little bits of green space as we go. For an example, Pendleton Heights just recently acquired a vacant lot through land trust, and we're building a community garden. The same thing is happening in Indian Mound. So it's ongoing, but very important.
This is the second installment of our Corner to Corner series here on Central Standard. We're in Northeast Kansas City today as part of that series. Kansas City, what do you find charming, underrated, or telling about Kansas City's Northeast End? Do you have or have you ever lived in the Northeast area? And what change have you observed? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Or tweet us at KCURCST. Let's go to John really quick. John, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to add just a little bit to my to this love letter to the Northeast. My partner and I, Ron McGee, bought a home here in the Northeast, and we basically were able to buy a dream home that we never expected to be able to afford. We got a lot of house for a very little amount, and we were able to restore the house back to, or in the process of restoring the house back to its original grandeur. And as a result of us moving up here, our friends and family moved up here, and now we have my sister-in-law, my cousin, several friends on the block, and it's just a wonderful community.
Thank you very much, John, for contributing to the conversation about the Northeast here on Corner to Corner on Central Standard. We're going to take a quick break. Central Standard returns in a moment. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. It's Corner to Corner time. Today we continue with the second installment of our Corner to Corner series here on Central Standard, exploring the Metro's historic neighborhoods. On this program today, we're looking at Northeast Kansas City. Yesterday we looked at the Plaza, or Country Club Plaza for you purists and enthusiasts. You can find both of these shows at kcur.org. Our in-studio guests are Lucinda Rice Petrie, tour guide of Old Northeast and active member of the Historical Society Foundation, Kristen Johnson, our neighborhood secretary and marketing director for Pendleton Heights in the Northeast, and Mike Bushnell, writer for the Northeast News. KC, what do you find charming about Northeast Kansas City that is unlike any other part of the city? Give us a call, 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. You can also chime in at centralstandard@kcur.org. As Sean did 5 years ago, he says, I purchased a beautiful house on East 6th Street, once owned by Willie the Rat Camisano. The house was built in 1879, a three-story brick turret house. The thing I find most rewarding is researching the history of not only our house but the surrounding area. The things we've found, just like gardening, is like an Indiana Jones film. So this guy, Sean, is a good fella, and he's writing in about his house that he purchased, a historical artifact that he lives in. And now I understand, Mike Bushnell, writer for the Northeast News, that in the last 18 months there's been a boom in population growth.
It's really incredible, and Kristen kind of spoke to this just a second ago when we were on break, is that the different communities are really reaching out to their own and calling them into historic Northeast. So we really are seeing a pretty good population bump in all of the neighborhoods in Northeast. And back when the school board was, and this has just been very recent, we were the only when they were doing all their consolidation, we were the only neighborhood that actually had population growth in students, which allowed us to keep a lot of our neighborhood schools open instead of them being shuttered. So as far as that's concerned, what we're seeing is a lot of growth from the standpoint of all classes of people. Pendleton Heights, really, they're starting to see a huge explosion in artists, musicians, and people that are moving out of the Crossroads and discovering what a great neighborhood Pendleton Heights is, but also what a great community historic Northeast is.
Speaking of Pendleton Heights, talk from a panoramic perspective. Kristen, what is the main ingredient for expansion in your neighborhood? It doesn't have the same reputation, obviously, as the Southeast, or what some have joked right here in this neighborhood, the Middle East, in KC's Midtown East Side. What does this neighborhood have? It's also east of Truce, and you got Independence Avenue, Van Brunt, Benton, streets like that. That are East Side streets.
Sure.
And so when people hear those things, they're like, whoa, Benton, mm-hmm. you know. But talk about the growth and the difference in that corner.
You know, you're right. When, you know, when I tell people where I live, you know, sometimes I say, oh, I'm just on the other side of City Market. And sometimes I say, I'm at Independence Avenue and Prospect. And it's the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
But depending on how I phrase it, I get different reactions. And honestly, it's fun for me as kind of a studier of human nature to throw those each out there and see what I get. All that said, it's Independence Avenue, Paseo, Prospect, Van Brunt, some really, really beautiful, very long streets. But what I've seen in my neighborhood, or at least, you know, other people moving into the Northeast, a lot of people that come into the neighborhood are people who are not from Kansas City. And I think that's telling. I think when people don't have these preconceived notions of what these streets really mean and what this neighborhood, what they think this neighborhood is, what their parents have told them it is, when they don't have all of that and they come in and they see it for what it really is, they don't leave.
To be fair, though, you cover this neighborhood extensively for the Northeast News, Mike Bushnell, there is still crime nonetheless you cover.
It's there, and we write about it. I mean, let's be realistic. The city recorded its 108th homicide for 2012 right off of Woodland and Paseo, or Woodland and Missouri Avenue. So while it's still there, there are a number of initiatives and a number of creative ways that neighborhoods are working with the police department, and neighborhoods are taking it into their own hands to address the crime issue. And here I live in Skerritt. Let me just make that perfectly clear. 25-year Skerritt resident. Pendleton is really taking it to a new level. They've got the off-duty police officers that they've hired that patrol their neighborhood and make it a much nicer place just from a crime standpoint. And I think what a lot of people have to overcome is the stigma that Northeast has. And that's one thing that we as residents have to overcome, because you're right. When people come in here from out of the area, that's a really cool place. I want to go there. I want to live there. But the people that have lived in Kansas City for a long time are kind of like, ooh, Northeast. I don't like that. It's got kind of a bad reputation.
And speaking of which, we have an email from Gabby. What are some of the contributions in the country of the Somalians and Africans in the Northeast? And we mentioned, Gabby, for your edification, we mentioned earlier that there's an influx of East African communities in the Northeast and how they contribute and how they got there. So, you know, the 10 o'clock hour, sometimes people aren't able to listen to the whole show. But let's revisit that issue for a little bit. Is this neighborhood with these ethnic minorities and a local newspaper presence, is it insulated because your paper is hyper-local and that's why the rest of the city doesn't really hear about the rich cultural heritage of this corner of the city?
Well, first of all, I've got to do a shameless plug. If we didn't write about this, if we didn't write about the Somali community, or right. if we didn't write about some of the things that are going on within our community, it wouldn't get picked up. And just as a perfect example, we've had two of our stories, three actually, that have gotten picked up by major news outlets here in the city, electronic media mostly, and they get picked up and they run with them. And if not for the local newspaper to go out and explore what's going on in our own community, and that bisects all racial, socioeconomic, side to side, shore to shore, if it's good or bad or whatever, and if it's in our area of operations, we're going to write about it. And we've written about the accomplishments of the Somali community at great lengths, the African-American community we've got an influx of those guys coming up from 64129 and 64130. And, let's just put it this way. We are still one of the most diverse communities in Kansas City, and we like to capitalize that. And I really feel like there's a lot of success stories that are in that as a microcosm.
Let's go to William, who's calling from Hyde Park, which is one of the communities that we will feature on our Corner to Corner series. We'll get to William's place of residence, but right now he's talking about the Northeast. William, welcome to Central Standard.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is a great topic.
Thank you.
My comment is I really appreciate the Northeast for the aesthetic, for the historic value, for the diversity and the food. But I wanted to make a comment about the functionality of the Northeast. I think that the Northeast is sort of a model for what so much more of the city can be. You have these a perfect mixture, I think, between residential and commercial. And I think the Northeast is one of the most walkable areas of town for a vast sort of a square blockage. And then also I want to make a comment on the fact that I think that it has some of the best elementary schools in one concentrated area. So I think the Northeast is a gem, and I also think that it's a model on the way we, at least in Hyde Park and other areas of the city, need to move as far as development.
Thank you very much, William, for your contribution to the conversation. And, Kristen, the point he makes about education, the one thing that you can say throughout American history, there are several historical precedents, is that immigrants are very serious about the American dream and education and furthering the pursuits in fields of endeavor of their next generations. And so, with the seriousness and emphasis on education, you look on the Northeast News and you see local readings for children and a very active library. Talk about that role of vibrance.
Well, that's true, and I don't know how much I can speak to education as a whole, so I will punt that to Michael. However, I can say just, knowing as many residents in the neighborhood that I do and as many families as I do, between Garfield Elementary and Crossroads Academy, of which Pendleton Heights does send a lot of children to, kids are ecstatic with their schools, and so are the parents. We have several teachers that live in the neighborhood. But Michael, regarding the library.
Mike, there's a library reading or some event matinee right now that we're competing with there.
Well, let's speak to the elementary schools.
Right.
We can speak to Northeast High School, and it's got a very strong alumni organization. But as far as the elementary schools go, we've got James, we've got Garfield, we've got the School of Vida Nueva, the School of New Life, the charter school right there in Pendleton Heights. And actually, those schools are very, very strong. And we write about those schools almost every single week. And as a matter of fact, Whittier down at 10th and Bales, their PTA person, I know that's not the right term, but their PTA person contacted us and said, hey, you're writing about James all the time. Why don't you come down here and do something on us? So the elementary schools, I would not, if I did have children, I would not blink an eye about sending my kid to a public elementary school in Northeast, because there is that strong focus on education. And as one of my friends from she's the principal at Holy Cross down there on St. John and Quincy, it's a parochial school, been there for almost 100 years, said the future of this neighborhood and the future of education in this neighborhood is really based on the strength of the immigrant community. And that's very, very strong. And so I think that speaks volumes to the way that our neighborhood is developing.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM on your dial, KCUR, streaming live on the internet at kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. You're listening to the second installment of our ongoing Corner to Corner series here on Central Standard. We're in Northeast Kansas City today, not literally, but figuratively and philosophically and creatively, definitely. Kansas City, what do you find charming and underrated about this enclave in the Northeast? Have you ever lived there? What brought you there? And what has inspired you to leave if you were there as a child or grew up there in Kansas City? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888, or shoot us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Facebook is also an option. Tweet us at KCURCST. Lucinda Rice Petrie is our guest here, tour guide of the Old Northeast, active member of the Historical Society Foundation, Kristen Johnson, neighborhood secretary and marketing director for Pendleton Heights in that same Northeast neighborhood, and Mike Bushnell batting third in this lineup, writer with the Northeast News. Let's go to Brenda in South KC. Brenda, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, thank you so much. Good morning to you and to your guests.
Good morning.
I am an HR, a human resources recruiter, and I think that the area that you guys are speaking of today on your topic is an excellent, excellent community to recruit from. And what I mean by that is in the 90s, for example, I was tasked with staffing some of the casinos. And so what I did was to reach out to Don Bosco and hire some of the people, recruited some of the people. And I would say it was a huge portion of the newly relocated immigrants that came to work with the casinos. It was a wonderful pool. It was a lot of development that we were able to do, and some of the individuals that was working at the casinos have gone on to bigger and to better careers. So I think that's not a topic that's probably discussed a lot, but the residents that live in that Northeast area are just absolutely fabulous when it comes to an HR person's recruitment. Diversity is the key issue here.
Thank you very much, Brenda, for joining this conversation and shedding light on that topic. Mike, you want to chime in on that?
I couldn't agree more. And as the publisher of the paper, and I'm always out doing the marketing thing and pushing the printed word, you know, as I tell people, we might not be the neighborhood where you go to get an IT professional or to get an executive vice president. But you know what? If you got somebody that's doing the labor end of it, middle management, you come on over and talk to us. We'll get you squared away with some top-notch people.
Sound like a car dealership you got over there. We got deals.
What do we have to do to get you into this car today?
Nice. Nice. Can you say the void where prohibited part?
Void where prohibited. Sorry.
Subject to credit approval. Yeah. Kristen, and I'll throw this back to Mike as well. The KC Museum, as a fixture in that neighborhood, what does it bring? And then we'll bring Lucinda in and we'll do sort of a do-si-do here.
Sure. And you know what? I might have to – that would be a perfect one for Lucinda just because she's more familiar with Skerritt than I am.
First, what does it mean to you?
What does it mean to me? I have to admit, when I have people come in from out of town and we do the little driving tour of the neighborhood, one of the first places I go is the museum. Between the colonnade, the boulevards intersecting right there, the fountain, it's a beautiful area of the city. And especially if you come up on it from Cliff Drive, you're kind of wandering through this very odd wooded area right in the middle of an urban neighborhood. So that always surprises people. And then you turn the corner and you see this amazing mansion on the hill, and people are always surprised, and that's when they start gushing. So that's what it means to me. I like to be able to surprise people and take them around that corner.
It's a very literary place. The Fairy Princess event every December is a very enchanting sort of deal there mm-hmm. that the KC Museum has. Lucinda, talk about that monument and what it means as sort of an anchor for the area.
Well, the Kansas City Museum, I want to correct something that was stated earlier. It is open for hard hat tours. And the goal by Christopher Letch, who is the house manager of the Kansas City Museum, is to eventually have it completely completed. But getting back to the Kansas City Museum, it is an incredible anchor for the area. People come in from all parts of the city and, I should say, neighboring states, and they are astounded by the beauty of the boulevard system and the beauty of the homes.
Let's talk about what Christopher Leet has going on over there in the KC Museum, and it's throughout January.
Oh, man. As somebody who can walk out on my front porch and see the museum from my front porch, it's great. They're a wonderful anchor in not only the Skerritt community, but also the Northeast community as a whole. One of the things that I say over and over again, finally we have a museum administration that is dedicated to the historic Northeast community. We're not a community with a museum in it. We're kind of a museum unto itself, and the museum is part of that fabric of the community. And Christopher and his team are really making that fly. The museum is, and we wrote a little bit about that in this week's edition of the Northeast News, shameless plug, but the museum is closed for programming during the month of January because they're going to be doing some things starting in February. They will be reopening to the public, but they're going to have for the first time in 5 years, they're going to have exhibit space open on the second floor of the museum. And that's huge. That is absolutely huge.
You know, Mike, Aaron Barnhart of the Kansas City Star sat right where you're sitting right now. And I told him as I'm telling you right now, you want another plug? There's an outlet right behind you. So
okay, I'm on.
Very classic moment in the radio, and the Northeast News is, of course, available at northeastnews.net as well.
Yes, sir. Thank
you
very much.
Right. Are you guys working on becoming a Google Fiberhood when you talk about the advancement and evolution of Kansas City's neighborhoods? Have you been in conversations about that as a marketing director?
I'm so glad you asked.
I know you're glad I'm asked.
Yeah. So as soon as we were made aware of how Google was planning on setting up fiberhoods and requiring each individual fiberhood to have a certain number of registrants in order to get Google Fiber in the neighborhood, we had a team of about 8 people who hit the ground running. And in Pendleton Heights, we hit that quota in 6 days. We were the second neighborhood east of Troost to go green.
Wow.
Or to qualify. We're excited. We get wired in 2013, the fall of this year.
And speaking of going green, tell us about the community garden.
Oh, I'm excited about that. Yeah, it's about a year ago, it was a vacant lot, shoulder-high weeds. And we acquired that through the land trust. So the neighborhood owns that lot of land now. We have a resident who is not only a master gardener, but who was involved in the community garden building at Ivanhoe. And he has taken over designing our community garden. And probably by this time next year, it'll be a showstopper.
Lucinda Rice Petrie, I feel like I need to add orchestral theme music to this sort of tourism commercial for the Northeast neighborhood. Very vibrant neighborhood, a very diverse neighborhood. Google's coming in. How does all that sort of mesh with the historic architecture and the historic legacy and the historic heritage of this enclave?
Well, it means it's a living community. It's vibrant. One of the items that I so enjoy about the Heritage Hike sponsored by the Historic Kansas City Foundation is that every time I give a Heritage Hike of the Northeast, something has changed and is positive, and it's so exciting. It is a vibrant, living community, and I'm always struck with the fact that when I speak with the priest of Assumption or St. Anthony's Church, because it has both names, so to speak, he always emphasizes the strength of the families. It's always a neighborhood that has had strong families.
And having your next-door neighbor actually knowing them.
Exactly.
A very interesting thing that Jane Jacobs talks about in The Death of an American City that a lot of our cities have lost there. We're going to go to Jeff in Eudora. Jeff, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you very much. I grew up in Northeast. As a matter of fact, it was kind of strange that your guest said something about Assumption. I lived right next door to Assumption growing up. And the comment that I have is we love the area. We moved away in 1966-68. And I've been over there several times, taking my family over there, showing them where I grew up and the longhouse and all those kinds of things. My question to one of your guests or yourself, what are the plans to do something with the area as far as some developmental things? Because it's so expensive to remodel those homes. They're so beautiful, but they're very expensive to remodel and update those. Are there any plans to give the community some help in doing some of those things?
Well, Mike, that's an interesting question. Is a Walmart Best Buy coming to Northeast?
I certainly hope not. And I say that in all candor. We've got such a strong small business base along Independence Avenue. One of the things that the Northeast Chamber is really focused on is EcoDevo and developing, or I should say rebranding, Independence Avenue as an international marketplace. Going back to his question in regards to the assistance for the homeowners, if you do live in a historic district, which, by the way, all of Pendleton Heights is a registered historic district, the improvements that you do make to your house could qualify for historic tax credits, which is a very lucrative incentive for people to move into a historic district. And you could do a number of things with those tax credits. You could sell them on the open market for whatever they're going for. It could be 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar, or you can apply them to your tax bill. But there's a number of things that the neighborhood organizations in Historic Northeast are plugged into, and as well as a number of different organizations, such as the Chamber, with partnership with LISC and those types of things, that it's starting to happen. We're starting to see the wheels turn as far as EcoDevo is concerned in Northeast.
And where does the Northeast stand now in a broader conversation about Kansas City's total evolution? I hate to hit you with such a big question, but briefly, tell us, as a historian.
I think it is the perfect story of the city of Kansas City and how it's grown and matured. It's revitalizing itself because of the influx of more people who have such a an endeavor to do well and to learn and to succeed. I can't tell you how impressed I am. I started giving the Heritage Hikes in 1981 of this area, and it's phenomenal of the incredible growth.
Lucinda Rice Petrie, the voice you just heard, tour guide of Old Northeast, Kristen Johnson, neighborhood secretary of marketing director for Pendleton Heights in the Northeast, and Michael Bushnell, writer for the Northeast News. That's northeastnews.net. If you've enjoyed Corner to Corner, please let us know which distinctive neighborhood we should explore next. centralstandard@kcur.org is our email address. Our Twitter account is kcurcst. Please let us know why we should explore your neighborhood next. You can find pictures of these homes later today at kcur.org and Corner to Corner details as well. Tomorrow, the movie critics stop in. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, executive produced by Bill Anderson. Kim Noble is behind the boards. Up to Date is next with Art Fillmore, the visionary behind St. Michael's Veterans Center. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.